ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्याय नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या प्रभो नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो राम रामो हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So we will continue with our discussion from yesterday. We had spoken about the importance of sadhana as part of our devotional practice in developing communities. Today we will cover sadachar, sambandh and seva. So a very important element is an environment of faith and trust. When one sees live examples of the principles of scriptures, it helps build faith in the process. And when devotees see each other free of duplicity, practicing what they preach, it creates an environment of trust in each other. So, these two principles of faith and trust is extremely important. And based on this, one actually advances in Krishna consciousness. So, it is described that, you can announce. Kannada translation, backside. Kannada, yeah. Near Prabhupada Vyasasan. So, in the third canto Bhagavatam, it is described Titikshava Karunika Suhurda Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatra Shanta Sadhavo Sadhu Bhushanam. That when a person practices devotional service for a whole lifetime, it is declaring war against material energy, Maya. And therefore, Krishna, becoming pleased with the devotee, he awards him with divine qualities as medals of victory. Just like in a war, when a soldier fights valiantly, as a result of his displaying great valor and bravery, the army or the government, they reward him with certain medals. They give him, Veer Chakra or Param Veer Chakra, or all these kinds of medals are given for displaying bravery in battle. So similarly, when a person spends a whole lifetime practicing Krishna consciousness, fighting against the influence of material energy, then Krishna is pleased with such a devotee. And as a reward for spending a lifetime fighting against Maya, the reward which he gives are titikshava, tolerance, karunika, compassion, suhurda, sarvadehinam. He gives him the feeling of being the well-wisher of all. Ajata Shatra makes him a good friend of all and free from any enmity. Shantaha creates deep-rooted peace within the heart. Sadhavo Sadhu Bhushanam. So Sadhu Bhushanam basically translates as medals of victory, which is awarded by the supreme government, Krishna, for fighting against the forces of Maya. I was doing a program the other day, day before yesterday evening, and I was sharing this true story of one of our devotees from New Vrindavan, who was in the army before, and he had to fight in the Vietnam War. So he shares his story that, he was not a fighter. In fact, he was very fearful of fighting. But he was drafted into the army and forced to go to fight. So the day one when he entered in the battlefield, he was already very nervous. And he barely managed to hold his gun. And as he ventured out into the battlefield, suddenly bullets started, coming out of nowhere. And his friend got attacked and he fell on the ground. So his friend collapsed. And this guy became very fearful. He thought that the next bullet is going to hit me. So he wanted to save himself. So he picked up the dead body of his friend, placed it in front of himself. He thought, this will be a shield for me. And then he started walking back towards his own camp, keeping his body in front. And in case any bullets come, it will hit him only. So when he reached his own camp, he realized that this guy was not dead, he was alive. And the army gave him bravery award for saving friend from battle. So he said, I did not have the honesty to reveal under what context I actually did this. He just, kept quiet about it. But in the army, it is seen that if someone does perform an act of bravery, he is given recognition. So then devotees may wonder, we are fighting this battle against Maya. What recognition are we going to get from Krishna? Is Krishna going to recognize? Are we going to get anything at all? So these are some of the awards which Krishna gives. He awards us with divine qualities. Titikshava, Karunika, Suhurda, Sarvadehinam. So therefore, this is a very important point to understand that as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, we will experience development of divine qualities. And the more number of devotees start developing these divine qualities, the more the community will be filled with ideal examples. And it becomes easier to place one's faith and trust. So this is the first point. So what is a community? So a community's expansion is unsustainable without Vaishnava Sadachar. So Prabhupada makes this point. Now I warn that we shall concentrate on making our devotees Krishna conscious and ourselves becoming Krishna conscious and not be so much concerned with expanding ourselves widely but without any spiritual content. Just like boiling the milk, it becomes thicker and sweeter. Now, do like that. Boil the milk. So, Prabhupada's letter to Rupanuga Prabhu, May 9th, 1972. So, Prabhupada is making this point of boiling the milk. And many times we have heard this quotation of Prabhupada on boiling the milk. So, basically, the idea is, as I explained yesterday, that we are all teaching everyone the process of surrender, the process of practicing Krishna consciousness by following Krishna and Krishna's instructions and Krishna's followers. So that is ultimately expected from all of us. And therefore, whether we realize it today, or we realize it tomorrow, or 10 years from now, or just a few moments before we leave our body. But the truth is not going to change. So therefore, when Prabhupada mentions that we have to boil the milk. So in the material life, advancement is considered in terms of increased skill. Whereas in spiritual life, advancement is judged in terms of increase in one's sincerity and submission. So to the extent one develops his quality of submission, to that extent, he is advancing in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, as we practice Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees, the association of devotees gives us great opportunity to increase our submission. Therefore, it is described that humility is the ornament of a devotee. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Raghunath Das Goswami is described as an emblem of someone with perfect sadachar. Yah sarva laukaika manobhiruchya saubhagya bhu kachit akrishta pachya yatrayam aropana tulya kala sa prema shakhi falavan atulya. Raghunath Das Goswami's heart is described to be a soil which is extremely fertile. Yah sarva laukaika manobhiruchya. Why? Because Raghunath Das Goswami served all the devotees and pleased the devotees. And he was fully blessed by the Vaishnavas. Yah sarva laukaika manobhiruchya. The devotees loved Raghunath Das Goswami. As soon as they would see him, they would bless him. Saubhagya bhu, and therefore his heart was just like a soil which is very fertile. Saubhagya bhu, kachit akrishta pachya, that fertile soil of his heart did not require any tilling. It was ready. As soon as you sow the seed, it was going to sprout into a sapling, into a tree, into fruits. Yatrayam aropana tulya kala, and as soon as the bhaktilata bij was planted there, sa prema shakhi falavan atulya, it grew into a huge tree and developed the love, the fruits of love instantly. So therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami's transformation very much depended on how he dealt with himself and dealt with the other devotees. And so the devotees were extremely pleased with his disposition, attitude, and humility. And when the devotees give their blessings, by the power of the devotees' blessings, we get the strength to progress in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important point, that the prasadam, Krishna prasadam which we partake, it purifies our senses. Sankirtan purifies our mind. The Srimad Bhagavatam purifies our intelligence. And the Sangha or the association of devotees purifies our false ego. Because when we come amongst devotees, then there are so many opportunities by which we have to submit and change ourselves. We may or may not like it, but we are forced to do it. And therefore, Prabhupada says, no one can expect to advance in Krishna consciousness in solitude and without the shelter of the association of devotees. So when Hanumanji jumped across and he burned the whole of Lanka, and then he just met Sita Devi before departing back, Sita Devi told him that, my dear Hanuman, the feat which you have accomplished is something no one can do. You have actually jumped across on your own, set fire to the whole of Lanka. In fact, I think Even my husband Ram and Lakshman cannot do this. Even Garuda and Vayu cannot do this. So Sita Devi started glorifying Hanumanji like anything. And this was the test of Hanumanji. Because when we are glorified like anything, from within the test begins. How are we responding to that glorification? So Sita Devi is glorifying Hanumanji. So Hanumanji did not say, oh, let me record this. I have to post it on Facebook. Let others also know, otherwise we are in solitude here. Nobody is getting to hear this. My other monkey soldiers, you know, they never think like that. They're always getting on my case. So when Sita Devi glorified Hanumanji, Hanumanji responded by saying, Mat Vishishtascha Tulyascha Santi Tatra Vanaukasa Matta Pratyavara Kashchit Nasti Sugriva Sannidhav. Can you move this camera near the pillar? So very, very beautiful shloka where the character of a genuine devotee is revealed. So Hanumanji is saying, Mat Vishishtascha Tulyascha. Every monkey soldier in the army of Sugriva is either equal to me or better than me. Mat Vishishtascha Tulyascha Santi Tatra Vanaukasa Matta Pratyavara Kashchit Nasti Sugriva Sannidho. And he says, practically all the soldiers are very, very highly qualified. And there is no one who is inferior to me. So Hanumanji explains this to Sita Devi. So when Sita Devi hears this, you know, she's astonished. And she's thinking, is Hanumanji just saying because, you know, it is socially expected that we do that? If someone says, you're really great, and we say, of course. I wonder why you didn't realize before. So, I mean, even they'll get bewildered, what's going on here? So when someone glorifies as it is expected that we say, oh, no, it's not like that, you know. I'm really fallen, actually. So then Sita Devi is wondering whether Hanumanji is responding out of the expected social etiquette. So then Hanumanji gives the reason. It's not that I'm just saying for the sake of saying, but aham tavat iha prapte kim punate mahabalaha nahi prakrishta preshyanti preshyanti hitare jana. So Hanumanji says that normally if someone is sent as a messenger, I have been sent as a messenger. So who's sent as a messenger? It's not the most important guys in the army who are sent as messengers. I have been sent as a messenger, as an errands boy. Go, give the message to Sita. So therefore, I am not even rated as one of the strong soldiers in the army. So I was like good for nothing. So they said, "Arey, kuch kaam ka nija, sandesh de kya." Kim punarte mahabala? What to speak of when the generals of the army come? And they start attacking, what will happen? If a messenger in Sugriva's army could burn Lanka, what will happen when the bona fide army comes? Nahi prakrishta preshyante, preshyante hi tare jana. So he's telling Sita Devi, nahi prakrishta, the soldiers who excel, the best soldiers are not sent for these kind of menial tasks. Of giving message and things like that. Preshyante hi tare jana. Those who are insignificant, they are sent for such tasks. So, I am like one of the insignificant guys, had nothing to do, so they sent me, okay, go. Let's keep him busy. You know, jump across and give the message to Sita and come back. So therefore, Hanumanji is responding immediately to Sita Devi's glorification in this manner. Still, there may be doubt in people's mind that Is he really thinking like that? Has he really accepted that he's insignificant? How can we really be sure? Okay. So for that, you have to wait for the yuga to change. And from Treta Yuga, you come to Dwapar Yuga. So in Treta Yuga, in the battle against Ravana, the hero undoubtedly in the battle was Hanumanji. And he was like Lord Ram's intimate right-hand associate who made everything happen. So now in Dwapar Yuga, you know, Hanumanji continues because when all the Ayodhya Vasis are being sent to the spiritual world, Lord Ramchandra asks Hanumanji, what is your desire? And then Hanumanji says, Snehome paramo nityam tvai tishtatu nityada bhaktischa niyata vira bhavo nanyatra gachyatu. I have no desire to go to the spiritual world. I simply want that my heart's attraction and love be focused at your lotus feet. And because this body of mine has been embraced by you, it has become fully spiritual, it has become so purified, I do not want any other body for me, this is spiritual body. So therefore Hanumanji was given the benediction of being a Chiranjeevi. So he continued beyond Treta Yuga. And in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna, he decided to make Arjuna the hero. And therefore Hanumanji was given the task of being on Arjuna's flag. Not even chariot. Not that he was right there next to Arjuna. He was given the position on the flag. And his task was to shout now and then to create some special effects. To create some fear in the heart of the, you know, opposite army. So just imagine Hanumanji, who was at the center of all action in Treta Yuga, is now in Dwapar Yuga. And in Dwapar Yuga, he's sitting on a flag watching as Krishna makes Arjuna the instrument, the main instrument in the battle against the Kauravas. This is the test of Hanumanji's humility. So Hanumanji is sitting there, not in a frustrated mood. Daddy, what is going on? How can Krishna do this? He doesn't know my past record or what? This is what I am getting in response to all that I did in Treta Yuga. This is not fair. I need counseling. Hanumanji is sitting there and he is supporting Arjuna in whatever insignificant role he is asked to support in. So when significant people are asked to support in insignificant ways, the significance of their ego is revealed. So therefore, Arjuna is like the main warrior on behalf of Krishna. And then just before the battle, Arjuna is telling Krishna, you know, Vepatuscha sharire me roma harshascha jayate gandiva sramshate hasta. Krishna, I am feeling anxiety. I cannot fight. The gandiva is slipping from my hand. You know, I am feeling depressed. I do not see the reason for fighting. I am giving up. Arjuna did that, right? So Hanumanji did not respond by saying, Hare, kya dekho to yaar? I never went through these emotions, you know. So he didn't get down at that time. Okay, Krishna, let him sleep, you know. You should have known when I am there, why you are selecting such a guy? He is not qualified. He is feeling anxiety. What is this going on? I don't even know the meaning of that word. So Hanumanji is right there. He's observing all these things. He is continuing to support Krishna the way he wants him to support. So that's the difference between service and service attitude. So we may be engaged in performing a certain service, but our service attitude is tested when the service is changed and we are expected and requested to do some other service. And then in that situation, how we respond. So that's a very important phenomenon. So here, Hanumanji is just sitting and observing through all the 18 days the battle is going on, ups and downs are going on. Not once Hanumanji felt tempted to come down and tell Arjuna, "Are, why you are wasting so much of time? I'll just expand my body and fall on the army. Battle will be finished." So many times we think, "I can do this service much better than him. Why should he be doing this service?" But we forget that in Krishna's scheme, various personalities are empowered to perform various service at various points of time. And therefore, service attitude means to know when to be active and when to withdraw as per the request made by the master or the masters. So therefore, to become a genuine servant is the most challenging job description in the entire creation. So therefore, by Prabhupada's grace, at the time of initiation, we are given the name Das. Just like when you join army, you are given uniform. And some title is also given, and gun is also given. One may or may not know how to shoot. But because you are in army, you are given a certain, you know, protocol, a profile. So like that, we have joined ISKCON, so immediately we are given some name, so and so, Das, and this and that. So Hansadutta Prabhu, he says, when he joined, he was a German. So his name was Hans Carey. You know, and when he was in America, they figured out this is a German name, so they used to make fun of him. Because when a person from one place goes to another place, and it is an unfamiliar surname or name, you know, socially, many people start ridiculing. It's quite common. Like I used to be in MP, in Madhya Pradesh, and we had like, I'm also from South, I had long names. We had another friend whose long name, Kanakapati, Apalachalam, Sankarilingam, Jagapati Raju. So this is a pretty common name in, you know, South India. You have kind of long names. But there, they were figuring out how many guys are here. 1, 2, 3, or 4. And if you go to China, it's a very simple name. Who? The name ends there. So when he was given, he really wanted a different name at initiation. So he was given the name Hamsadutta Adhikari. So he asked Prabhupada, "What is this name?" Prabhupada said, "What was your old name?" "Hans." So you add one Dutta. So it becomes Hansadutta. And your second name was Carey. You add Adhi, Carey. So he said, "What is the meaning, Prabhupada?" Prabhupada said, "You read Bhagavatam, you'll understand." So he studied the whole Bhagavatam to figure out the meaning. He couldn't get it. And then, you know, he was sitting with Prabhupada in one initiation ceremony, and Prabhupada was saying, "Brahmanand means this, Kirtanand means this." So he said, "Prabhupada, who is Hamsadutta?" Prabhupada said, "You." And then Prabhupada said, "The most important name is Das." Right, so we get this name Das and Dasi, but we really do not understand the significance of what is expected from this name, because it means subjugation of our false ego in toto. So therefore, if we are able to actually realize what this is, that's perfection of devotional service. So therefore, we should know that it's a long way to go before we actually understand what this whole idea of being a servant is. So when Prabhupada was in Bhuneshwar, so I'll just take to the next one. Leadership means setting the example. Masters need an example to follow. Yadyat acharye sirsheshtas tattat evetarojana. Sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. So whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. Whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So Prabhupada mentions the purport that people in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. Right? So I was sharing yesterday evening that Krishna himself was taking care of the cows in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Yadarchitam Brahma Bhavadivi Suraihi Shriyacha Devya Munecha Satvataihi Go Charayanu Charesh Charadvane Yat Gopikanam Kucha Kumkumankitam. So Krishna, whose lotus feet are worshipped by the greatest demigods, Yadarchitam Brahma Bhavadivi Suraihi Shriya, even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, she's aspiring to serve Krishna's lotus feet. But those lotus feet of Krishna are hankering to serve the cows and the calves of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada explains in his purport that Nanda Maharaj has 9 lakh cows. And he has millions of servants whom he can delegate this activity to. But Krishna and Balram personally take care of herding and taking care of the cows. So therefore, Krishna is setting the example of how we should be servant. And Krishna began his pastimes by serving the cows and the calves. And Krishna ended his pastime by serving the horses when he became Parthasarathi. So therefore, the Supreme Lord, who is the master of the 33 crore demigods, and Uddhava says, Kim chitram achyuta tavaitad ashesha bandhoho daseshu ananya sharaneshu yadatma sakam yorochayat sahamrgai swayamishwaranam shrimat kiritatapidata padapita. That Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who is worshipped by all the demigods who come and place their helmets at his feet out of abject surrender, this personality, he goes on a campaign against Ravana and the Lanka soldiers surrounded by monkeys in his previous incarnation as Lord Ram. So therefore, the Lord is extremely humble and he's setting the example of what leadership means to be the servant. When one is willing to be the servant, and it is described that when we are looking at a scene from a distance, we cannot really see it properly. So you take a binocular, and to the extent you add the number of lenses, to that extent the mountain or the valley appears close. The magnification increases as you add more lenses. So like that, Krishna is at a distance, and to the extent we add Vaishnavas between us and Krishna, as many Vaishnavas we add, to that extent Krishna comes closer and we are able to see Krishna more closely. And therefore, this kind of behavior is very important to understand, that we actually try to be the servant of the servant. So Prabhupada was actually in Germany and he was giving a class and he was saying that the Brahmanas are first class, Kshatriyas are second class, Vaishyas are third class and Shudras are fourth class. And suddenly one man in the audience, he got up and he challenged Prabhupada and he said, oh, what do you think? You're first class, you're sitting there and giving lecture. Now we are all fourth class sitting here. And he challenged loudly. It was very offensive. And there were some, you know, this was in Germany, and there were some really strong, powerful, tall German devotees who were getting inspired to intervene. You know, they thought, okay, This is the time for some action. This guy has insulted Prabhupada, so they were getting ready to move in and grab this guy and throw him out. And as they were about to come in, suddenly they saw Prabhupada's reaction. And Prabhupada, for a moment, closed his eyes, and there were tears from his eyes, and Prabhupada said, "No, I am fifth class, servant of all the classes." And this guy was totally bewildered. He didn't know how to react because he had never heard anything like this. And then finally, the devotees also could not react. They were also confused. So therefore, Prabhupada, at that moment, revealed the genuine humility which he was having in his heart. So therefore, when we are in the association of devotees, our humility, our tolerance, our ability to deal with other devotees in a congenial, harmonious way is going to be tested. And when we are able to deal with this situation with dignity, with integrity, then Krishna is pleased with us and blesses us with more tolerance, with more compassion, more humility, and more qualities. And we are able to progress in the path. Like Gaur Govind Maharaj was in Bhuvaneshwar, and Srila Prabhupada wanted him to translate the Bhagavatam into Odia. And the translation work was going on very slow. So Prabhupada approached him and said, "Why the translation is so slow?" And he said, "I'm so busy doing management, what can I do? There's nobody else to manage here." Prabhupada said, "We should get somebody else to manage. You should do just a translation full time." He said, "But Prabhupada, there is nobody." So Prabhupada saw one American devotee walking by. And Prabhupada said, "We will make him manager." Gaur Govind Maharaj said, "But he's going to New York tomorrow. He's not like a permanent devotee. He just came to visit and he's going tomorrow." Prabhupada said, "We will change his plan." Gaur Govind Maharaj said, "I mean, you have to do it then. I can't tell him." So Prabhupada called him. So when this devotee came and offered obeisances to Prabhupada, already his heart was kind of pounding because he knew something is happening. When we come to Krishna consciousness, our tuning with the Paramatma becomes stronger than before. And in any situation, we understand something is coming. So he looked at Prabhupada and said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, how can I serve you?" Prabhupada said, "I want you to stay here and manage this center." It was like a thunderbolt. He said, "Prabhupada, I'm going to New York tomorrow." He said, "Yes, I know, but I want you to stay here." So now he started, like, his brain started working overtime. And he said, "Prabhupada, this climate in India doesn't suit me." Prabhupada said, "Only when you stay longer time, it will suit you." So he said, "Okay. Astra number two." "Prabhupada, the diet, the water, you know, all these things, I'm not able to digest properly." Prabhupada said, "I will write down what you should eat, what you should not eat. Just follow my prescription. You'll be fine." He said, "Prabhupada, in New York, they have created a new department. They expect me to go and take it over. I have to go." Prabhupada said, "I'll immediately organize someone else to take over. You stay here." Now he was like losing. So he said, "Prabhupada, I cannot get along with the local GBC." Prabhupada said, "Today I changed the GBC." So then he thought, okay, all astras are over. So he brought out the Brahmastra. And he said, "Prabhupada, I'm so busy morning till night, I'm not able to chant 16 rounds. If I go to New York, I'll be able to peacefully chant 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, "If you're busy morning till night, there is no need to chant 16 rounds." So this was like a shock for him, you know. And other devotees should not try to get this quotation. That, "Oh, I never knew this." Probably I should have heard this 10 years ago. So he said, surrendered, and he said, okay, I will continue. So therefore, we are many times put in a situation where we feel, you know, my chanting is going on every day where I'm praying, oh, divine energy of the Lord, Hare, all attractive Krishna, please engage me in your service. And then we get shocked that Krishna has taken our prayer seriously. And then we come in front of the Lord and say, I didn't expect this from you. I was saying it every day for 2 hours, but, you know, I thought it is more like a government office. It takes time for the files to be processed. I didn't expect things to be so efficient in your government that I just made an offer and you took it so seriously. So many times we are saying the prayer, please engage me in your service, but internally we are thinking, please engage him in your service. Please engage them in your service. And what I should do, I will just continue chanting. But the meaning of the chanting translates into, please engage me in seva. And then when the seva comes, you are thinking, Hare, why I have been given? Why I am doing this? Why I have been chosen? Why you have chosen me? So many questions. You know, depends on emphasis is on which one. Why I have been chosen? Why I have been chosen? Why not him? Why not them? So these are some of the things which create tension in the association of devotees. So rather than asking, how can I perform this service? We spend a lot of time arguing, why should I do this service? So therefore, till we set an example, we cannot expect others to follow. So therefore, sooner or later, you are going to be in a position where you will be requesting other devotees or other people to follow or to engage in seva. And the first question they will ask is, what did you do? What seva you did? Whom did you follow? Whom did you submit to? What has been your track record? So therefore, when we are asked questions like that, we will be forced to introspect, and then we'll realize that probably I should have been more honest and I should have actually followed the instructions properly. So Prabhupada says, safeguarding the image of the mission. We should never steal anything like money, food, water, gasoline to enhance our service to Krishna. That is too much dangerous. And if we are caught, then all our work is finished. Just like in India, this Bal Yogi Guru Maharaj was detected by the customs authority, attempting to smuggle some small items into India. By this one tiny incident, his work is ruined now and is practically finished. So we have to be extremely careful in how we are presenting ourselves as devotees. Right? So as ISKCON devotees, we need to control our emotions, control our, you know, because in any public space, people are observing us carefully. So Nityanand Prabhu explains to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tomardui Hastabadh Nama Ganane Jalapatra Bahirvasa Vahibe Kemune, that you are going to South India, at least carry a servant with you who will be carrying this water pot and chadar for you. Because your both hands are absorbed in chanting and counting the holy names. Jalapatra Bahirvasa Vahibe Kemune. So therefore Prabhupada writes in that purport that in this particular shloka, Nityananda Prabhu very clearly proves that the holy name must be chanted, and the holy name must be chanted loudly, and the holy name must be counted also. We must count what we are chanting. So therefore, when we are practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, we take vows of chanting certain number of rounds. So we have to follow it. And many times, people in the outside world may not even know what we are doing. And they may discourage us. But this is our process, and we are supposed to practice chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I was traveling in a train once, and then I just saw right in front of me, there was somebody sleeping, and I was chanting very mildly in the morning. And then this guy suddenly got up, and then he again tried to sleep. And I was chanting very, very softly, but, you know, he was getting disturbed by why I am chanting. And then he tried to cover himself with the chadar, the blanket. It was winter season. So he thought by putting blanket, then, you know, he'll be protected from the holy name. The holy name pierces the universe also. So back and forth he went, and then he finally sat and looked at me and said, "Are subhe subhe Krishna ko to sone deo yaar." So many people are wondering why we have to start this chanting, you know, in the morning, and why we do all this Mangalarti and all of these activities. And you know, one gentleman, he came to me and he said, "You Hare Krishnas, you make a show of this bhakti by publicly chanting and by taking these beads in your hand and, you know, doing all kinds of things. Bhakti is an internal process. You're not supposed to show it externally. You're not supposed to even bring the name on the lips and show to others that you are chanting. This is not some kind of a medal to show. You're all making a show. Internal, internal. That's how I do my bhakti. I'm chanting the holy names deep inside. So deep that even I don't know what I'm doing." So many of the people feel that this chanting on beads and all of this is like an external thing. But that's what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, because in Kali Yuga, the mind is in such a state of riot that if you simply try to, you know, meditate silently, nothing will happen. So therefore, Prabhupada is mentioning here that as devotees, we are expected to follow certain protocols, and we must try our best to demonstrate the ideal example as Krishna conscious devotees. And as the number of devotees are increasing all over the world, you know, more and more people are getting exposed to the Krishna consciousness philosophy and understanding. Right? And one time I was returning from, you know, some other country where I couldn't preach in saffron clothes. So I was like in pant and shirt and taken out the kanti mala for immigration. So I entered back into India and I came to the immigration counter. And the immigration officer, he used to watch Atma serial. And he looked at me in pant and shirt without kanti mala. And he got shocked. And he looked at me and said, "Maharaj, sab chhod diya kya?" I said, no, I had gone to some other place to preach, and therefore, you know, for that purpose I have changed. I'm very much, you know, still by Lord's grace, I'm still in. I said, "Oh, humko to chinta ho gayi." So I thought we are so fortunate that so many people are observing, and they are trying to make sure that we are following the principles properly and we are in good standing. Right? So one of the examples of how Lord Balram did not approve of the Sadachar of Romaharshana is when Romaharshan was giving a talk and Balramji entered, and Romaharshan did not offer respect. So Balaramji became very angry and he took that blade of grass, and just with the blade of grass, he killed him. So literally, Trinadapi Sunichena, using the Trina, he actually killed him, saying that, you know, you're sitting here and speaking on this Bhagavad, but you do not have the humility to match this. So therefore, Maitreya Rishi in the third canto says, Tathapi kirtaya manga yathamati yathashrutam kirtim harer swam satkartum giram anyabidha asatim. I am speaking this Bhagavatam for my own purification. Tathapi kirtayami yathamati yathashrutam, as much as my intelligence allows and as much as my memory can capture. Kirtim harer swam satkartum, because if I do not speak Harikatha, my tongue will be engaged in speaking mundane prajalpa and it will become like asati, unchaste. So therefore, when we are given opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness, we should be aware that I am speaking for my own purification. And whatever I am saying is for myself. Because whether anyone in the audience hears or not, at least I must hear this. So therefore, in that mood, when we are presenting Krishna consciousness, then even the preaching which we are engaged in becomes part of our self-purification and transformation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a beautiful interaction with Sanatana Goswami. As Sanatana Goswami was passing through some forest areas, Sanatana Goswami developed skin disease. And there was pus oozing out from his different parts of the body, and he became so disgusted, he wanted to commit suicide. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caught him and said, "This body does not belong to you. How can you whimsically take that decision? Because this body belongs to me. You have already surrendered this body to me." Therefore, Sadachar means that we realize that having taken to Krishna consciousness, we have surrendered ourselves, body, mind and soul, to Krishna. We are now Krishna's property. And therefore, Rupa and Sanatan, when they come to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they say, "Mora karma morahate galai bandhiya, ku vishaya vishta garthe diyache philaiya." That we have engaged in such abominable activities in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, that ku vishaya vishta garthe, we have gone deeper and deeper into the muck of sense gratification. And therefore, my dear Lord, only you can relieve us from this state of degradation. Vamani aiche chand dhorite chahe kore taiche ei vancha more hurdaye antare. That I may be like a dwarf, you are like the moon, but the moonshine can always touch anyone. And therefore, please deliver us. Deliver us from this state of fallen condition. So they are the prime minister, the finance minister, the most powerful politicians who are controlling the whole state. But what is their sadachar? They come in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offer themselves in total submission. And Mahaprabhu tells them, "Aji hoite duhar naam rupa sanatan, dainya chhada tomar dainye phate muraman." On this day, I initiate you and give you the name Rupa and Sanatan. And my first instruction to you on initiation is dainya chhada, give up your humility. What a caliber of disciples. That the spiritual master's first instruction is, give up your humility. One disciple He was telling Radhanath Maharaj, Maharaj, please bless me so that I can remain humble. Maharaj said, first become humble. Only then you can remain humble. So Mahaprabhu is telling Rupa and Sanatan, Dainya Chhada. Give up your humility. Tomar Dainya Phate Moraman. Your humility is breaking my heart. So therefore, the glory of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami is not that they were scholars in Sanskrit and Persian and Bengali and they were powerful politicians and they were so expert in their dealings, but their real glory is they were submissive and humble when they came in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And thus blessed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were empowered. And this is called the creation of spiritual piety. So therefore, one time in Yatra, you know, Deen Bandhu Prabhu, who takes Yatras in Vrindavan, so there was a group of devotees who were taking a bath in the holy Yamuna. And Deen Bandhu Prabhu asked, what is the difference between Ganga Snan and Yamuna Snan? And everyone was like, surprised. They didn't know the answer. And he said, when you take Ganga Snan, all your papas are destroyed. And when you take Yamuna Snan, all your papa and punya are destroyed. So some of the devotees started coming out. With this new point of information being revealed. So actually speaking, when we practice Krishna consciousness, we are going beyond papa and punya and we are acquiring spiritual credits. And that's what we described yesterday. Shrinotam Swakatham Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. So therefore, when we serve the devotees, serve the deities, engage in all kinds of devotional activities, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho Smaranam, and all of these wonderful activities, they increase our spiritual credits. And by gaining these spiritual credits, one develops the grace of the Lord and one gains the ability to be consistent in his thoughts and his words and his actions. So therefore, you know, we have what is known as considerations of time, place and circumstance in application of Vaishnava Sadachara. And the first principle is the sentiments of people should not be hurt. Okay. And we should package the message appropriately while maintaining the spirit of parampara. Very important. Very beautiful point. That when Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows and all the great sages along with the Pandavas, they arrived. Bhishma Dev had a great desire to welcome them as per proper etiquette. And in his perfect health, he could have done that because he was used to worshipping and welcoming all these great souls. But when Bhishma Dev saw that he is unable to move even a fingertip because of the situation he is in, and as per Vedic etiquette, if we are unable to offer proper welcome to a guest, it is sinful. So now, all these sages are coming. Krishna is coming. Pandavas are coming. They are supposed to be welcomed. And he can't move. What is he supposed to do? Tan sametan mahabhagan upalabhya vasuttama pujayan asadharmagyo deshakala vibhagavit. As per time, place and circumstance, Bhishma Dev knew how to adjust the principles of dharma and apply in that situation. He knew, I cannot move my hands. I cannot move my legs. I cannot get up. In my entire body, only one organ is moving, which is my tongue. Therefore, Bhishma Dev used his tongue to glorify the sages and welcome the sages. Pujayan asa dharmagyo. So the word used is dharmagya. So dharmagya means one who understands the principle of the essence of religion. When one understands the essence of religion, he is able to apply the principles as per time, place, and circumstance. So therefore, this is a very important principle in application of Vaishnav Sadachar, because as per different cultural changes across the world, the idea of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable changes. And therefore, these points have to be considered very carefully. So, when Prabhupada was in New York, one hippie was hearing Prabhupada's lecture. This was in the 1966-67 period. And he was in a totally, you know, intoxicated state by smoking LSD and drugs and everything. And Prabhupada just gave a talk on Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada mentioned something about Vaikuntha. And this intoxicated hippie got up after the talk and he said, "So Swami, you have been speaking about Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha. What is this Vaikuntha?" Now Prabhupada looked at him. And now he has to give an answer to a totally intoxicated hippie and define Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada looked at him for a few moments and Prabhupada said, "Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha is like an ocean of LSD." And the hippie said, "Wow, very interesting." He understood the context. So this was the maximum he could, you know, stretch his imagination to. He couldn't go beyond that. So Prabhupada could have said, "Oh, Vaikuntha is Chintamani Prakara Sadma Shukalpa Vriksha, this, that, everything." What he will understand? There is smoke filled here. So Prabhupada was extremely successful because he could preach as per time, place, and circumstance. And he knew the etiquettes in different places and adjusted accordingly. When Prabhupada was in America and he would be on a morning walk, he would come across, you know, old people who were taking their dogs on a walk. And Prabhupada would greet those people, "Good morning." And Prabhupada would look at the dog and, "Good morning" to the dog. And they would be very pleasantly surprised and touched because Prabhupada greeted the dog. But that was the sadachar in that place. And if you do not do that, it is considered offensive. Right? If you do not acknowledge. And Prabhupada was in India. He was doing life membership. So he took devotees across in Calcutta. And Prabhupada said that in India, people love to invite sadhus to their home. So Prabhupada was in Surat and he said, "If you become life member, I will come to your house." So in one day, he would get 20 to 25 invitations. And Prabhupada would go there and make them life member, collect the check. And Prabhupada said, "In hotel, if you go and eat, you have to pay. Here, they are paying me to eat." So Prabhupada, some American brahmacharis were there with him who were very young. And Prabhupada went to one house in Calcutta and, you know, they were going to many houses. So in one house, the host was saying, eat this, and he was going on eating this brahmachari. And when he came back to the temple in Calcutta, he held his stomach and he started shouting, "Prabhupada, my stomach is aching." And Prabhupada said, "Naturally, you ate 25 puris." And he looked at Prabhupada and said, "How do you know, Prabhupada?" Prabhupada said, "I was counting." And another brahmachari started laughing. And Prabhupada said, "You don't laugh. You ate 15. And Prabhupada said, in India, it is the custom that any house you go, people will feed you. But that doesn't mean that you keep on eating. The purpose why we are going there is to develop a relationship so that they become member and favorable to ISKCON. And okay. They realized. So the customs and the tradition in different places, they're all different. So as Krishna conscious devotees, we have to adjust according to the time, place and circumstance. And therefore, packaging the message appropriately while maintaining the spirit of the parampara. And capable management means improvising without compromising. So this is a very important point, that you improvise, but do not compromise. So that requires a lot of maturity. Purity and not the packaging is our core preaching strategy. Purity is the force. So therefore, we have to maintain the purity. At the same time, we may adjust as per time, place and circumstance. You know, the presentation of Krishna consciousness. In some places, you cannot directly present Krishna consciousness. You know, so you do some cooking class or you do this or that or various things. But whatever may be the case, but we have to maintain our purity. So we have created, you know, a manual of Vaishnava etiquette. Various manuals of Vaishnava etiquette and lifestyle exist within ISKCON. There are two parts to this, you know. One is the general etiquettes and then etiquettes within the temple. So now we move to the Sambandha aspect. And this Sambandha is a very important part, which is relationships amongst devotees. So every devotee has various needs. And to the extent we understand the needs of the different devotees, to that extent it will be easier for us to actually maintain harmonious relationships. So very important element can you take care of this? Something is covering the screen here. Here, on my screen. So, very important point, because if you ask the devotees, most of the devotees will say that amongst all of this, one of the most challenging element is relationships. Okay. So, to appreciate the relationships, it's very important for us to appreciate that there are various needs. And the first need is there is a need for appreciation. So appreciation basically consists of, first, that when we perform a particular seva, then we require a reward for the seva. Or it also means acknowledgement. That yes, I have performed this seva. Someone is acknowledging what I am doing. It also means recognition for one's service or contribution. Because you are making a contribution for Krishna and the deities are aware of it. Krishna as Paramatma is aware of it. But you also want that devotees should recognize this. Devotees should recognize my contribution. And one should also appreciate the sacrifices which have been made. Right? So these are like inherent needs of the devotees. A very important point that, you know, when Lord Krishna is performing pastimes in Sri Vrindavan and yesterday I was sharing this, that Krishna was recognizing the contribution even of the trees of Vrindavan. And he was glorifying them, saying that they are offering their lives for protecting and preserving others. Pashyadaitan mahabhagan parasyaikant jivitan vata varsh atapahiman sahanto varayantina. Krishna is recognizing and appreciating even the contribution of trees. Right? So many times devotees say, how can I remain inspired in Krishna consciousness? If we start focusing our attention and energies on appreciating the contribution of other devotees, acknowledging them, appreciating their sacrifices, and we start developing a mentality like that of a honeybee, then automatically our heart will be flushed with great joy and happiness. So therefore, rather than looking for being appreciated and acknowledged, if each devotee is actively, very proactively, and very, very insistently and diligently looking for how I can appreciate the contribution of other devotees, then the whole environment will become like Vaikuntha. So that's a very important point to understand. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was with his devotees, he was very much appreciative of the devotees' contribution. Ramananda Rai, he is glorifying Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling him, Lord Ramananda Rai is telling Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahanta Swabhava Ei Tarite Pamar Nijakare Nahi Tabu Yatara Ghar. That great souls like you, they travel to give Krishna to others. But Mahaprabhu is telling Ramananda Rai, no, I want to hear Krishna from you. And Prabhu kahe aage kahe shunite paaye sukhe apurvamrita nadi vahe tomar mukhe. I'm inspired to hear Krishna katha from you because it is just like a river of nectar. Please speak more and more. It is giving me ecstasy. So Ramananda Rai again glorifies Mahaprabhu and he says, Hridaya prerana karo jihvaye kaho vani ki kohiye bhalamand ki chui na jani. Whatever I am speaking, I don't know what I am speaking. You are inspiring from within. You are pulling this katha from within my heart. Therefore, credit goes to you. Mahaprabhu puts it back on Ramananda Rai. And Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kahe mayavadi amito sannyasi. Bhakti tattva nahi jani mayavadi bhasi. I am mayavadi sannyasi. What can I say? I do not know anything. Prabhu kahe ami nahi jani Krishna katha sabhe Ramananda jane te hoi hota. So I didn't know anything. I asked Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He told me, go to you and hear from you. And now you are glorifying me. Tomar thani aila tomar mahima shuniya tumi mora stuti karo sannyasi janiya. Because I am in the social order of sannyas, it is natural that you are glorifying me. But if you glorify me, how can I hear from you? You are in a more exalted position being the speaker of katha, so I have to hear from you. So therefore, you speak and let me hear. And do not create this barrier that I am a sannyasi and you are a grahastha and therefore, you know, you have to hear from me and things like that. It is creating a problem in the relationship of the hearer and the speaker. So both are glorifying each other. Both are appreciating each other. And that's the mood which must exist in a Vaishnava society. And Srila Prabhupada was very much conscious of devotees' contributions. And he would acknowledge those contributions. He would appreciate those contributions. Give credit where it was due. And he would really, you know, make sure that the devotees feel encouraged and empowered. Hamsadutta Prabhu, he reveals the story that Prabhupada said, we must have a world traveling Sankirtan party. So he went and got an old bus from some hippie. It was an old, dilapidated, broken down bus. So he brought it to Prabhupada and Prabhupada looked at that bus. It did not have any paint. It did not have any window panes. Even the front glass shield was not there. And inside there was only one seat for the driver. No other seat. So it was in such a horrible state. When Prabhupada entered, he said, where am I going to sit? So they went inside and got a chair and brought the chair and, you know, made Prabhupada sit. Prabhupada said, when the bus moves, what will happen? The chair will move. So Brahmananda Prabhu sat down and held the chair with his hands. And this was supposed to be their world traveling Sankirtan bus. And so Hamsadutta Prabhu, he sat in the, you know, driver's seat, switched on the ignition, and smoke started coming out of the dashboard. And Prabhupada looked and said, oh, looks like an Indian bus. So Hamsadutta Prabhu thought, oh, Prabhupada is from India, he's glorifying this. After many years, when he came to India, he realized what he meant. So then they went for a small tour and Prabhupada said, we must have a bus, but it could be a better bus than this. So Prabhupada really encouraged, inspired, and empowered devotees. Allowed them to make mistakes. Right? Shamsundar Prabhu says, he came to Prabhupada after a few years and he said, Prabhupada, I have to go to jail. Because he had made some mistakes before and the police was pursuing a case and the verdict was given. So he came to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I have to go to jail. And he thought Prabhupada will be very angry, very shocked. He'll chastise him. And Prabhupada said, oh, Krishna was born in a jail. So he felt very good. Oh, I'm not being judged. You know, jail is not like a positive place where you'd like to be associated with. I was giving a program in the Arthur Road jail in Mumbai once, six years ago. And as I was giving a talk, right in front of me, there were 5-6 people wearing Krishna lockets around their neck with kanti mala and tilak. It was a different type of tilak, red tilak. And they were sitting there, you know, in the lecture. And I was wondering, who are these people? Are they devotees? Are they speakers after me? Are they inmates of the jail? And in jail, you can't ask also anyone. Kaise aana hua? How come you're here? It's a very sensitive situation. And when I was giving a lecture, there was a phone call received by the operator at the same time. And the operator was on the call. He picked up the call and the guy on the other side said to the operator, Gaurang Prabhu kaha hai? And the operator said, jail gaye hai. So the word jail does not have positive connotation. So Shamsundar Prabhu felt, if I'm going to jail, then practically the reputation of ISKCON is going to be decreased and Prabhupada will be angry with me. And he'll reject me. And Prabhupada said, Krishna was born in a jail. And then Prabhupada asked, what crime? For what crime? And Shamsundar Prabhu said, I was dealing with drugs. Prabhupada said, me too. I was also dealing with drugs. I was running Prayag Pharmacy. So he kind of, made the whole issue very light. And at that moment, Shamsundar Prabhu felt really encouraged. Right? So therefore, practically, he was one of the most important pillars who established contact with the Beatles and helped in spreading Krishna consciousness movement. But these are significant moments where a person finally decides, do I trust you or do I not? And we will be tested in such situations. And depending on how we respond, a person's trust in us either grows or it breaks. So therefore, this is a beautiful point that devotees need to be appreciated. They need to be acknowledged, recognized. And if they are performing a seva, that needs to be rewarded. Another need of the devotee is also that need for a status. Recognition of one's standing and to be given respect as per one's position. Right? So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was, you know, dealing with his devotees, he made it a point that he recognized each devotee's contribution and he recognized their standing. So all the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, when he goes to Sarabhaum Bhattacharya, he says that Grihe Krishna Bhaji More Kora Ashirvade Neelachale Asiyena Tomara Prasade. That my dear Sarabhaum Bhattacharya, give me blessings so that I can return back from South India tour to Jagannath Puri. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi. Sarabhaum Bhattacharya is a grihastha. How can a sannyasi ask blessings from a grihastha? But Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this privilege to everyone in this society, that just by chanting Hare Krishna and by keeping Krishna as the center of the house, he has empowered each and everyone with full Krishna consciousness. To the extent that even a grihastha is empowered to bless a sannyasi, Prabhupada says. So therefore, we recognize everyone's standing and we respect each and everyone as per their position. And Akrura, when he enters Sri Vrindavan Dham, he says, Maivam mamadhamasyapi syat evachyuta achyuta hriyamana kalanadya kochit charati kashchana. That we have all been traveling in this river of time, and somehow, by the association of devotees, we have been dragged to Krishna's lotus feet. So anyone who has taken shelter of Krishna is extremely rare. And therefore the rarity of the association of devotees must be recognized. And anyone who is sincerely struggling to advance in Krishna consciousness is very special. And therefore, his contribution must be recognized and we must respect him as per his position. Right? So when Nawab Hussain Shah enters into the assembly where Sanatan Goswami is simply having Bhagavat Katha with all scholars, Patashah Dekhiya Sabe Sambhrame Uthila Sambhrame Asanadiya Raja Revasaila. Everyone gets up in a state of, you know, suddenness. They're all shocked. They're surprised. They're surprised by the sudden entry of Nawab Hussain Shah. And when Nawab Hussain Shah enters, Sanatan Goswami and all the devotees, they get up. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that here is a person who eats cows. He enters the assembly and all the biggest brahmanas and the pandits are offering him respect. Is it proper? And Prabhupada says, yes, yadyad vibhutimat sattvam shrimat urjitam evava. It is only by Krishna's potency that someone becomes powerful and strong. And therefore, if someone is put in a powerful political position, that also must be respected because Krishna has put him in that situation. So therefore, they all got up to respect Nawab Hussain Shah. So it's very important to know that as per one's position in society, as per one's position in devotional circles, as per one's ashram and status, one must be respected. And one of the biggest anxieties devotees go through is when they perceive that I am not being respected as per what I deserve. Shwabhute Vishwabhavena Swasukhenabhi Vandita Jagama Swalayam Tata Patham Anuvrajya Nandita. So in the next one we see that the inherent need of an individual is also affiliation. We all are looking for in a relationship that no one can remain in isolation. People are looking for a relationship where they can share confidentiality, camaraderie, where they feel confident that they can delegate certain tasks or activities. People are looking for relationships of equals, of friends. We are looking for a formal connection. We are looking for, you know, how I can sometimes subordinate myself to others. A feeling of trust. So therefore, affiliation means all of these things. So this is one of the very inherent, bona fide, genuine needs. Need for affiliation. Where we feel, okay, I am not in isolation. I am in a group where I am understood and accepted as I am. Right? So very, very important point to appreciate. And the best example of this is Krishna dealing with Sudama. So Sudama has been sent by his wife to go and get some money from Krishna. So as soon as Sudama enters, Krishna makes him sit on the asan, and him and Rukmini Devi are serving. And all the palace residents are bewildered. Kuchailam malinam kshamam dvijam dhamani santatam Devi parecharat sakshat chamara vyajanena vai. That Sudama is in such tatters, but Krishna is serving him, pleasing him, worshipping him. And kim anena kritam punyam avadhutena bhikshuna. All the palace residents are wondering, who is this bhikshuk who has come? Shriya hinena lokesmin garhitena adhamena cha. He doesn't seem to have any wealth. Still, the Supreme Lord Dwarkadhish and Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi, they seem to be enamored by him and they're worshipping him. So, Shrushaya, Paramaya, Pada Samvahanadibhi, Pujito Deva Devena, Vipra Devena Devavat. And Krishna is serving Sudama by washing his lotus feet, taking that lotus feet water, that Pada Prakshale Jal upon his head. And with great love and devotion, Krishna is serving. Pujito Deva Devena Vipra Devena Devavat. And Krishna is serving Sudama. And Sudama is thinking, like 33 crore demigods serve Krishna, like that Krishna is serving me. And next day in the morning, Sudama left without receiving any remuneration from Krishna. So when Sudama is leaving, he is not feeling frustrated. That I came here for some donation, I didn't get anything, what is going on? Dwarkadhish is sitting in middle of opulence, I didn't get even one small jewel. So what Sudama is thinking, Shwabhute Vishwabhavena Swasukhenabhi Vandita Jagama Swalayam Tata Patham Anuvrajjanandita. Sudama is in total bliss and joy. How can he be in joy when he has not achieved his objective of getting money from Krishna, wealth from Krishna to take home? When you do not achieve your objective, you are frustrated, you are not in joy. Patim anuvrajya nandita. So Bhagavatam says, Sudama was in ecstasy. Why? Because the way Krishna treated him, shwabhute vishwabhavena Swasukhen Abhivandita. Krishna treated Sudama with genuine love, affection, and respect. And for the soul to receive love, affection and respect from others is valued more than receiving even wealth and remuneration. And therefore, when we deal with other devotees and offer them genuine affection and respect, it touches their heart more than anything else. And therefore, we may think we can touch devotees' heart by giving them prasad. We can touch their hearts by giving them some lakshmi, some money, some donation, by this, by that. Okay, all these may be there. But what really touches the heart is reciprocation based on affection and respect. So therefore, this is the only way we can actually manage ISKCON based on what we see on this screen. When we become the servant of other devotees and offer our genuine appreciation and respect to them, then we actually see devotees' hearts opening. So, Bhagavatam describes, Chakravarti Pad says, when Sudama goes back, he receives a lot of wealth. But Chakravarti Pad says, do you know why Krishna gave Sudama so much wealth later? Because Sudama had a pride in his heart that no one is poorer than me. So Sudama had a unique flavor of false pride. So pride comes in so many flavors. Right? And Krishna knows exactly which flavor we are into. And he will accordingly do the needful to humble us. So Sudama thought, I am so poor. I am so detached. I don't need anyone. I don't need anything. So Krishna noted that and he said, I have to humble him. How to humble him? Make him millionaire. When I make him millionaire, his pride is gone. Pride in what? Pride in being the poorest, the most detached is gone. So many of you may think, may Krishna humble me like this. Like Sudama. I am eagerly awaiting to be humbled by the Lord. But Krishna humbled Bali Maharaj like that. Because Bali Maharaj's pride was, I am the wealthiest. So Krishna said, okay, in three steps, take away everything. So Sudama's was exactly opposite. So if you look at Sudama pastime and Bali Maharaj's pastime, it will appear Krishna is acting in opposite ways. But actually Krishna has acted in very consistent way. Because he is only dealing with their pride. What is required to take away Bali Maharaj's pride? Take away wealth. What is required to take away Sudama's pride? Give him wealth. So his giving and taking away wealth may appear to be opposite actions, but they are both consistent only with one final intended reaction, which is to see the humility in his devotees' hearts. So therefore, here we find that Sudamaji is actually revealing this principle. And then, you know, we have this famous pastime of Indra and Prithu. So many times devotees say, I came to ISKCON expecting, you know, perfect society, love, devotion, you know, flowing like anything, appreciation, affection. But I see here all fights are going on, you know, disturbances are happening, various imperfections I see. I did not expect this. So if you analyze Bhagavatam is filled with pastimes where such conflicts are being revealed. And why such conflicts are coming in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ramayana, in the Mahabharata. Ram is directly present in Ayodhya. When Ram is directly present, Ayodhya is going through a major shake-up. Till Ram came, Ayodhya was peaceful. Till Krishna entered Vrindavan, Gokul Mahavan was totally peaceful. Only cows were there and bulls were there. The only violence was some bulls may attack. But after Krishna appeared, series of demons came. After Ram came, Ayodhya got shaken up. Otherwise, Dasharatha Maharaj was managing the kingdom perfectly for 60,000 years. But within 24 years of Ram coming, everything went out of control. And Ram could not even manage to keep his family together. With all the administration and management acumen, you know, his family was in chaos. So Ram, he wants to give us a message that however hard you may try, we cannot control all circumstances. Circumstances cannot be controlled. Only consciousness can be controlled. We have no control over circumstances. Ram had no control. What Mantra is going to do, how Kaikeyi is going to react, how the whole, you know, events are going to unfold. So therefore, when we come into a... And then again we have Prithu Maharaj and Indra. One is the king of heaven and Prithu Maharaj is also... Both are kind of incarnations. The Lord's expanded energies and both are fighting tooth and nail. 99 horse sacrifices he performs and then for the 100th one, so many complications are going on. So why Bhagavatam is bringing out these conflicts? Because the Bhagavatam wants to give us a message that we are all aspiring for perfection in an ambience of imperfection. And therefore, we should only aspire for perfection within our consciousness. And we can never aspire for perfection in any circumstances. It can never be attained. So when Indra and Prithu are fighting, Brahmaji comes and he tells Prithu, you do not perform the 100th horse sacrifice, you withdraw. So Prithu did not get on Brahmaji's case, why are you telling me? This is the guy who is creating all the trouble, you go to him. I am a latest incarnation, he is there for so many years. I am a new devotee, he is a senior devotee. Indra has been around for a longer time, I incarnated just now. But because Brahma comes and tells Prithu, Prithu adjusts and he agrees. So therefore, many times we think by changing circumstances, our consciousness will change. No. We feel our experience will improve by changing circumstances. If I change location, if I change service, if I change activity, my problem will be solved. But this is the fallacy which Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita are trying to counteract. That the disease is within. You have to deal with your false ego. We have to deal with our anarthas. Whichever corner of the material world we go, we cannot escape from our anarthas. So no point jumping here and there. So therefore, Prithu Maharaj, he actually, Sudhiya sadhavo loke naradevo narottama nabidruhyanti bhutebhya yarhinatma kalevaram. Lord Vishnu comes along with Indra and tells Prithu, "Are you are such an elevated, exalted person. You are not supposed to have such fights with others. All of your spiritual advancement will be finished. Control yourself." And because Prithu Maharaj agrees and surrenders, so he finds his way into the Bhagavatam. By sacrificing his opinion and his desire for the 100th horse sacrifice. So Prithu Maharaj lost control over the kingdom of heaven. He could not get the position of Indra. He could not attain the throne of Indra But Prithu Maharaj was given a position within the throne of the heart of Lord Vishnu. So therefore, by displaying skills, we may attain some external throne. By displaying submission, we get an opportunity to sit on the throne within the heart of the Lord. And therefore, we must recognize why we are practicing Krishna consciousness and what's the purpose of our practice in the association of devotees. So, it's a very important point to realize that ultimately, we cannot avoid conflicts within this material world. Right? So, Prabhupada was talking to a couple, and the husband and wife were complaining to Prabhupada, and husband was saying, wife is shouting at me. Wife was telling Prabhupada, husband is shouting at me. And Prabhupada said, wait. You may fight with each other, but do not shout. So they went away. After 6 months, Prabhupada met them. He said, how's your family life? He said, very good. Prabhupada said, what happened? We tried to fight without shouting, but it was no fun. Right? So, you cannot avoid conflicts. So, Bhagavatam and Ramayana and Chaitanya Charitamrita is all dealing with this misunderstandings and various kinds of, you know, apprehensions may be there in relationships. We have to tolerate. We have to deal with it. Ram and Sita were going in the forest along with Lakshman in Vanvas from Chitrakoot to Panchavati. On the way, Sita looked at Ram and made a comment. I see you're carrying this bow and arrow all the time. I've never seen you use it. Are you ever going to use it? Or just as decoration? Just carrying like this, huh? What's this? So see, she just made a comment. So even Ram cannot avoid hearing comments. So Ram did not react immediately. So we should learn how Ram dealt with it. Ram quite quiet. So he came to Panchavati. And then after the Surpanaka episode, in Janasthan, Kar and Dushan attacked along with 14,000 Rakshasas. So Lakshman saw the Rakshasas coming and Lakshman got up and said, Ram, Sita, go inside the cave. I'm going to fight with these Rakshasas. Ram looked at Lakshman and said, no, I will fight. Lakshman, you go inside the cave. Lakshman said, my dear Lord, these are not, you know, very high class Rakshasas. Not up to your standard. Even I can take care of them. You relax. Ram said, no, I will fight. Lakshman said, my dear Lord, why do you insist? I mean, you can rest. I'll take care of them in case I need help, then you can come, but I don't think it's required. Please go in. Ram said, Lakshman, it is my domestic matter. Don't ask details. Go inside. So Lakshman went inside. Sita also went inside. And Ram fought for 1 hour and killed 14,000 Rakshasas, and not even one bead of perspiration came on his forehead. It was so effortless. As soon as he finished killing, Sita came out and she started glorifying. Jai Ram, Jai Sri Ram, Jai Sri Ram. Hare, what a wonderful thing you have achieved. I never knew you are so brave and so powerful. And she started putting garlands on Ram and said, I'm glad that today Janak Maharaj is not here to see you in so much of action and showing so much bravery, because if he saw you showing so much power, he would have married my other sisters also to you. So then again we find that Lakshman goes, you know, in the time when Ram is chasing Marich, Sita is telling Lakshman, go, hear that sound. He's calling us. He's calling you, Lakshman, Lakshman. Go behind. And Lakshman says, no, I'm not going, because I know it is not Ram's voice. It's some demon making that voice. Sita is saying, no, you must go. No, I'm not going. Sita says, oh, you want to enjoy with me. That's your only intention. That's why you've been here right from the beginning, so that the day you get an opportunity, you will enjoy with me. And it is like a devastating blow to Lakshman, because for 14 years, he has not even slept at night performing seva. You know, sometimes we do some late night and we keep a track how many hours I lost. And internally we are thinking, Krishna, see how much I am doing for you. How much I am doing for you. Are you noting it or not? 14 years he did not sleep. It's not a joke. You know, 14 years. And then Sita is telling him, this was the only reason for your coming, so that you can enjoy. So what a devastating blow. And Lakshman didn't react by, you know, shouting or screaming at her or giving up. He just made Lakshman Rekha and then went. So he was completely heartbroken by Sita because she questioned his character. And when he goes to Ram, Ram looks at Lakshman and said, Lakshman, why did you leave Sita and come? What kind of an incompetent Kshatriya you are. You don't know how to follow orders. You are nonsense. You are this, you are that. And Ram is questioning his competence. So the wife questioned the character. Husband is questioning competence. What else remains? After a person's character and competence both are questioned, Lakshman has to completely, you know, he's devastated. So the if we were in that position of Lakshman, you'd have said, okay, Ram and Sita, you manage this here. I am going. I am retiring. Or Lakshman may have said, I am sending Bharat next now. My dear Lord, let us make a schedule. No one can survive with the two of you for a long time, you know. Why should I be the only person? But Lakshman continued serving. So therefore, Lakshmano, Lakshmi Sampanno, Bahir Prana Ivapara, Sarva Priyakarastasya Ramas Chapisharirata. So the word Lakshman literally means one who possesses the Lakshmi or the wealth of unalloyed devotional service to Lord Ram's lotus feet. He's filled, he's endowed with the wealth of seva. And that's the only wealth he is aspiring for. And for that wealth, he is willing to go through any kind of pain. So therefore, when we are eager for service and we understand the significance of the service we are receiving, we are willing to go through any amount of pain. And therefore, in the association of devotees, our faith will be tested. We will have relationship problems. We will have conflicts. We will have times when our faith is shattered. But we have to realize, why have I come here for? To gain Krishna Prema. And that is only possible in the association of devotees. And therefore, I must overlook the faults and search for the good qualities. And that's how the relationships can be maintained. Without forgiveness, it's impossible to maintain relationships. Aho anantadasanam mahatvam drishtamadhyame kratagasopiyan rajan mangalani samihase. Durvasa Muni certifies Ambarish Maharaj. He says, by seeing this person, I can understand he's a Vaishnav. He may be the king of the planet, but he's a Vaishnav. Aho anantadasana mahatvam drishtamadhyame kratagasopiyan rajan. Why is he a Vaishnav? Because although I have committed a major crime against him, he has wished well for me. I wanted to kill him, but he has forgiven me. Therefore, forgiveness is the blood group of a Vaishnava. And therefore, I can recognize this is a Vaishnava. So therefore, in the society of devotees, this principle is very important. And we find that amongst the cowherd boys, when they see the forest fire, Krishna tells the cowherd boys, close your eyes. And they have faith and trust in Krishna. And they close their eyes and Krishna, he just sucks in all the forest fire. And then we find that when relationships break down, even the ray of Vishnu cannot do anything. So Gaudiya Math was established by Srila Saraswati Thakur, who is a ray of Vishnu, the most empowered of all personalities, who is a manjari from the spiritual world. So whether one is a manjari or a ray of Vishnu, or however powerful a personality, when other souls decide to fight and have conflicts, nothing can be done. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita is a proof that Krishna failed as a Shanti Dut. Because if Krishna succeeded as a Shanti Dut, we would not have Bhagavad Gita. So as soon as you see Bhagavad Gita, you should know that Bhagavad Gita is definitely a symbol of Krishna's successful speaking of the philosophy, but it also indicates Krishna's failure to create peace amongst conflicting, warring parties. And therefore, Krishna can blend earth, water, fire, air, ether, the elements harmoniously at will. But Krishna cannot blend two jivas harmoniously when they decide to punch each other. He cannot do that. He gives up. And he only requests, please have some love and affection towards each other. I can't do anything. I couldn't do anything in Ayodhya. I can do much in Hastinapur. And I can't do much in ISKCON also. Handle with care. You take care of each other. Right? So therefore, this is a very important point, that various historical truths are there, and therefore individual purity is not substitute to collective unity. And in the dealings within the spiritual society, there are dealings with seniors, dealing with equals, and dealings with juniors, like that. And therefore, there are three methods of offering and receiving correction. The right attitude must be there. Because this is one of the areas where relationships break down many times, that, oh, people feel I was not corrected properly. Correction isn't synonymous with finding fault or becoming angry. Okay. So it is focusing more on the service side of the devotees while tolerating shortcomings. No one comes perfect. Like that. So, Prabhupada, you know, when he was inspiring devotees to help edit his books in the initial days, so one of the devotees, he edited, he was editing, doing English editing of Prabhupada's books. And, you know, various English editing he was doing, and he came to one word, Shri Shri Radha Krishna. So he struck off one Shri and wrote a note there, repetition. Because as per, you know, language in English, it doesn't happen. You don't say the. So he just thought it is a mistake, Shri Shri. So he cut it. And Prabhupada saw that. And Prabhupada said, oh, you cut this? He said, yeah. Prabhupada said, why? It's a repetition. Shri Shri. It's wrong. Prabhupada said, when I write in your language, you correct me. When I write in my language, don't correct. So this Shri Shri is a form of respectful address to the deities, to the lordships. Therefore, if you do not know that, then you consult. In English, whatever you want, you do. Right? So many times, it is how we, in what attitude we offer correction, that becomes important, like that. So Prabhupada was really very gentle with the devotees and made sure that they understood what is what. Another thing is authority. Ethical authority is one should follow oneself before asking others. So Prabhupada was in an airport and the airport manager came and said, you know, we want all devotees to move from here. So the temple president there got up and said, all ISKCON devotees, get up and move on this side. Nobody got up. Everyone was sitting. Prabhupada got up and he started walking. And the temple president told Prabhupada, not you. Prabhupada said, I am not ISKCON devotee. You know, so he was like the first to do it. So therefore, one should follow before asking others. Second is spiritual authority. There should be a relationship of love and trust as a precondition. Right? So one devotee was sticking stamps on envelopes and he was using his saliva. And Prabhupada said, this is muchi, you should not do this. Use a bowl of water. And so he started using the bowl of water. Prabhupada went. So he continued doing. Only one stamp remained in the end and the water got over. So he thought, now for this one stamp, who's going to go and fill up water again? I already know my technique from before. And Prabhupada is not there. Nobody is there to see what difference it makes. So he took that one stamp, put it on the tongue. The door opened and Prabhupada was standing there. And Prabhupada said, I told you not to do this. So many times we may think, okay, I'll do this and no one will observe. But sarvata pani padam tat sarvatokshi shiromukham. The Lord's eyes are everywhere. So therefore, along with spiritual authority, there is also managerial authority, considering the domain of one's influence. Okay? And the third is the right action. One has to be tactful and friendly, mend it without breaking it, forgive the wrongdoer, allow them to start afresh. And prevention is better than cure. Place systems to check deviations. So, you know, it is sometimes not what you say, but how you say it. How you express is what is important. So therefore, you know, one has to be extremely tactful and friendly. And Prabhupada said, management means getting things done without breaking someone's back. And Prabhupada said, people are coming to ISKCON to offer their enthusiastic spirit of service, which is spontaneous, individual, and voluntary. So we have to make sure that we deal with them in a tactful way and friendly way so that the spontaneous, individual, and voluntary spirit of enthusiastic service is not smashed. Otherwise, we will have so many rules and regulations, but if the basic spark of enthusiasm within the devotee's heart, that is snuffed out, then we will only be left with buildings. So therefore, this is very important on how we actually deal with certain situations. So prevention is better than cure. Place systems in place to check deviations. And another thing which everyone faces is one of the, you know, very scary words in ISKCON is apradh. How to deal with Vaishnava Prath. So adjust misunderstandings on the basis of common connection to Krishna. Be humble enough to beg forgiveness immediately and earnestly. You don't have to delay, you know. To the extent we beg forgiveness fast, to that extent things are resolved. And hold oneself accountable even for offense committed by one's subordinates and begging forgiveness. Like that. Very important. And clarify the situation by proper communication. So communication is very important, because many times problems are created due to lack of communication. So when Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON, he was very, very mild, gentle on certain areas and very strict about other areas. When it came to tattva or the philosophy being changed, he would come down very heavy. And when it came down to certain expressions of creativity shown by devotees which were not really, you know, on the right track, he was more gentle and mild. So therefore, we have to adjust as per the time, place and circumstance. Prabhupada was in New Zealand, and the devotees, they had a very limited space for worshipping deities. They had place only for one set of deities on the sides, but they had back-to-back place. So they installed Gaurnithai in front, and back-to-back they put Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, and they made a revolving altar. And when they pressed the button, the altar would move. So when Prabhupada came, he offered obeisances to Gaurnithai. When he got up, he saw Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. And Prabhupada said, are these deities or rolling stone? Right? And Prabhupada saw that, okay, there is a spirit of enthusiasm. But then Prabhupada also cautioned them that, no, our standard is once you install deities, they don't move. They have to be at one place, fixed. You can't change that. Right? So Prabhupada was very sensitive to the fact that devotees are giving their energy with enthusiasm. And that spirit is voluntary, individual, and spontaneous. So therefore, to the extent we appreciate how each member who has come to the temple has come with certain desires to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, to reciprocate with Krishna's love, and how I must be sensitive to preserve that spirit of enthusiastic service. So when we are careful about this, give it a priority, Krishna will give us the intelligence from within, how to deal, how to speak, what to speak, and how to actually intervene in different circumstances. So therefore, as a society, ISKCON has grown far and wide all over the world. We have more than 700 temples. There is a fourth part which is on seva, but, you know, it's not like we don't have so much time to deal with it, but the main aspect of seva is that when our sadhana, sadachar and sambandha are in proper order, then we are actually able to serve with enthusiasm. Otherwise, one of the biggest challenges is devotees, they withdraw themselves from active service and they just want to be left alone, because they just feel that I am not being understood in this society. And so we have so much of potential, so much of power, so much of enthusiasm which is latent and available and potentially there. But it cannot be ignited, because due to problems related to sadhana, sadachar and sambandha, that spirit of enthusiasm has been withdrawn or covered over. And a person just feels that, let me just do my own thing. Because if I try to come forward and assist in any service, I go through difficulties. So therefore, this is the biggest challenge facing our society, where we need to individually understand these principles strongly, realize them, and apply it in a way that we are able to nourish the faith and the enthusiasm of every member of a community. And when all of these members of an ISKCON community come together with great enthusiasm and service attitude, then incredible achievements can be made. That spirit of cumulative enthusiasm can be so overwhelming that it can really conquer over the hearts and the souls of millions of conditioned souls. Therefore, we must pray to Srila Prabhupada to give us that strength so that we can actually serve in the association of devotees in the mood of being the servant of the servant. And when we do that, Krishna will empower us from within. And with that empowerment, we'll be able to actually make significant, tangible spiritual advancement in our own life and become an instrument of transformation in the lives of millions of souls. And Prabhupada said, people will recognize ISKCON as that organization which has saved the world in its darkest hour. And therefore, with all of the problems the society may be facing and all the problems the community may be facing, practically no one on the whole planet really knows how to deal with someone who is about to die. And therefore, we as devotees carry the most important knowledge about how to help the soul in the journey beyond death. And therefore, whether we have conflicts with someone or don't have conflicts or this or that, ultimately at the time of death, we need each and every devotee to pray for us and chant for us and help us in our journey to the next destination. So therefore, keeping the overall vision in place, we should work towards creating a society where each and every member who gets connected feels, this is my home. This is Krishna's eternal home, Vrindavan. And being inspired by this Vrindavan, being demonstrated in the society of devotees, community of devotees, I feel inspired to take the journey to Goloka Vrindavan. What I see here represents the spiritual world, and therefore I'm enthusiastic to go to the spiritual world. And if what I see here doesn't inspire me, then even Goloka Vrindavan will become a big question mark. And therefore it becomes a big responsibility for all of us to follow these teachings and apply these teachings so that ultimately we can spread this movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada in every town and village. So I offer my respectful gratitude to Varada Krishna Prabhu and all the devotees here at this ISKCON temple for giving me an opportunity to share a few words on the principles of community building. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. And I think we are now having a Goshala inauguration. So we invite all the devotees to join for inauguration of the Goshala.
Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Gandhavika Giridhari Shri Mahaprabhu Ki. Sarva Vignash Shingadev Ki. Hare Krishna. So today is a pretty busy day. At around 12 o'clock, we will be assembling downstairs in Lord Narasingha Hall. Many of you know that in Tondanur, Ramanujacharya presented to Lord Narasimha, a danda, it's called the Narasimha Mantra Danda. So we are having a similar ceremony here today. Danda, we've got a danda done and it's gold leafed. And this will be offered to Lord Narasimha today. We are having a homa that's being, actually it's going on right now at the moment. Purificatory homa for this danda. So Gaurang Prabhu will be formally, on behalf of all the devotees here, formally handing over the danda. to the pujaris of the Narsinga temple, and this will be placed next to the Lord. So this will be called the Narsinga Mantra Danda. So that will happen around 12 o'clock. Soon after that, we will have the Goshala inauguration, first phase of the Goshala inauguration.